across Sunday, but warm with a high near 40. Back to work on Monday, partly sunny skies and a high near 42. And that's the latest look at your Twin Cities forecast on AM 950 KTNF, the voice of Minnesota.
Mike Mullins. I'm the host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show, AM 950, the voice of Minnesota. Welcome. This is a show about investing. It's about how to identify good companies, strong companies, good dividend-paying companies. It's a show about looking for up-and-coming opportunities in the investment marketplace. And where to look for that? Now, you might think the Socially Responsible Investing Show, investing, how does this all work together? Well, my opinion is you need to look for strong companies, and you can identify them not just through regular fundamental research, you know, figuring out if they're making money, if they're in trouble, if they're not in trouble, those kinds of things, but also what kind of good neighbors are they? What kind of corporate citizens are these companies that you might be considering investing in? And even if you're not an individual stock or bond investor, let's say you're a mutual fund investor. Let's say that you own variable annuities and you've got mutual fund type choices in there. You have some power here to choose how you want your money to work. You need to align your values with your money, and you can improve the world one ethical, socially responsible choice at a time. You really do have some power here. I know I have felt awfully powerless the last couple of years when it comes to finance and money for a whole bunch of reasons, and I'm sure that you can identify with some parts of that statement. It's time for us to take back some responsibility, to take back some power, to take back some accountability for our own decisions. It's easy to blame the government. It's easy to blame corporate America, the big banks. Heck, it's easy to blame GM. It's easy to blame the people we work with. It's easy to blame the people we live with. But when you get right down to it, you've got to make decisions about your money for the best outcomes that you can possibly imagine. I'm Mike Mullins. I'm a financial consultant with RBC Wealth Management in Minneapolis. RBC Wealth Management is a company that's been around for 100 years in the Twin Cities. It used to be called Dane Bosworth. And then it was called Dane Rauscher. And then in 2001, Royal Bank of Canada bought Dane Rauscher, and it became RBC Dane Rauscher. And in the spring of 2008, the brand, if you will, became RBC Wealth Management, and that's what we call ourselves today. We've been around since 1909 in this city, and of course, I haven't been with the company that long. I want to give you my web address. I'd like to give you a chance to get to know me a bit. If you got a crayon or a colored marker there or something, write this down. www.michaelwmullins.com. If you're in a position right now to go to your computer, maybe you're already logged on, you've been checking your email this morning, checking your Twitter account, you know, looking around at Facebook to see what the kids are doing this week, try me, Michael W. Mullins, MULLINS.com. On my homepage, you'll see right at the top, who is Mike Mullins and how do I meet him? Take 2 minutes and view my personal video. I have to tell you, I have to confess, it's not 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes and 17 seconds. It ran over just a little bit. But please take the time, maybe not right now, maybe after the show, during a break, take 2 minutes and view my personal video. The next item down says, Mike is live on AM 950. I hope you've had a chance to think about logging on. And if you are driving, you can't. Please don't. If you have a PDA in your hand, stop texting now. You may kill my neighbors out there. I'm in the studio right now, but you may kill my neighbors. But please, I am on the radio station today to talk about investing, whether you're interested in high and rising dividend income, if you're looking for strong up-and-coming investments. I can tell you, and I will prove to you over the next number of weeks and months, that if you look at companies these days through what we call a socially responsible lens, you will find strong companies, truth-telling companies, companies who are working very hard to be good neighbors. That's who I want to invest in, and I would like for you to think that that's who you want to invest in as well. Now, this show is not for everyone. If you want to make money, regardless of the cost, this show is not for you. If you're okay with hazardous waste and pollution, so long as the company makes a profit, this show is not for you. If you think that all companies owe employees is a paycheck, this show is not for you. If you're okay that companies make important decisions like bonuses behind closed doors, this show is not for you. However, if you don't want blood money as part of your investment returns, welcome to the show. If you demand that companies clean up after themselves, you parents, you know what I'm talking about, welcome to the show. If you think that employees are a company's greatest asset, welcome to the show. If you believe that shareholders and stakeholders must hear the truth in the open, welcome to the show. Now that that's out of the way, I hope you're still listening. We're going to have a format for the show going forward that's going to be roughly divided into four chapters. The first chapter, we're going to be talking about the front burner issue. There will be a focus or a topic for each show. I've given them cutesy little nicknames. The nickname for today is The Bones of Investing. The nickname for next week's show is called The Bones of Socially Responsible Investing. We'll talk about that a bit more. The cutesy title for the third show is, anybody remember the movie Goldfinger, James Bond? My working title for the third show is Don't Give Gold the Finger. Thank you very much. I'll be here for about another 45 minutes. We will do a market overview from 30,000 feet. Don't look for PE ratios and corporate earnings reports and percentages of this and percentages of that. That's another show. I want to remind you, this is not a biography show. This is not a news report. This is not a documentary. This is talk radio. We're going to talk about the Consumer Confidence Index. Of all the different ways that you can measure how things are going out in the economy and in society and in the marketplace, you can look at a lot of different ratios. We hear about the gross domestic product number, and we hear about the Consumer Confidence Index, and we hear about this price index and the other. The one I'm going to talk about week in and week out is the Consumer Confidence Index. You probably are aware that the vast majority of how our economy in the United States works is what we call the service economy. These are people that make money with their companies by providing services or services to service products. Not so much manufacturing companies as in the old days. Service economy. The importance of consumer confidence in the flow of buying and selling in our economy is more important now than ever. For better or for worse, it's more important than ever. So we'll be talking every week about the Consumer Confidence Index and news about the Consumer Confidence Index. We'll have a conversation with a guest each week. This week's guest is Dr. Michael Sullivan, who is Associate Professor of Finance at the University of St. Thomas's Opus School of Business. He is also the University of St. Thomas Chief Investment Officer, and we'll be asking him, why the heck does investing seem to be so nerve-wracking for so many people? We'll get to that after our break, which is not here yet. I will also give you questions and answers from emailed questions. I really want to get to know you. I want to hear what kinds of questions you have about investing. You can email your question to, ready, here's my address, michael.w.mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S, at rbc.com. That's michael.w.mullins at rbc.com. And finally, in the last chapter of our show, we will be offering guidance on finding investment opportunities in areas such as the aforementioned gold, water, clean tech energy, strong dividend income stocks, all seen through the lens of socially responsible investing. Quickly, the market review. This last week, the stock market got back to basics. Investors seemed more focused on economic data rather than just being afraid of what's next. The Dow ended the week at 10,566, just above the 10,005 battle zone that some technicians have been eyeing, and it's now approaching its high for this current recovery cycle of 10,725, which occurred in mid-January. The Consumer Confidence Index is an indicator designed to measure consumer confidence, which is defined as the degree of optimism on the state of the economy that consumers are expressing through their activities of saving and spending. Global confidence and consumer confidence is not measured. Global confidence is not measured. Country-by-country analysis indicates huge variance around the globe, and I will talk more about that in a segment in the future. In an interconnected global economy, tracking international consumer confidence is a lead indicator of an economic trends, and the report from March 2 indicates that consumer confidence hit its highest level in Great Britain in 2 years. People were their most optimistic about the coming 6 months since records began, but in the United States, confidence is still low. We'll talk further about that. Again, this is the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. Our guest right after the break is Dr. Michael Sullivan, the Associate Professor of Finance at the University of St. Thomas. And I hope you'll stay with us, and we will be back to you in just a few minutes.
Tune into the Twin Cities Real Estate Radio Show this Sunday morning starting at 9. We'll be talking about the importance of home inspections with Jeff Blitz, president of Inspecta Homes. You can also call in during the show and we will answer any of your real estate related questions, or call us anytime with a question at 651-344-0621. Visit us online at TwinCitiesRealEstateRadio.com to listen to past shows and keep up with the latest real estate news.
This is Ed Schultz, and when I'm in the Twin Cities, I expect two things: friendly people and great food. And you'll find them both at the Louisiana Cafe, the Uptown Diner, and the Woodbury Cafe. For a hearty breakfast and a great cup of fair trade coffee, I like to head over to the Louisiana Cafe, close to the Capitol, just south of 94, off Dale at Selby. The Uptown Diner, known for their great breakfasts and lunch, political hot talk, and plenty of parking. You know, they're open late Thursday through Saturday at Hennepin and 26th. And then there's the Woodbury Cafe. Love this place. Just off Tamarack, one block east of 494. You know, for many years, progressives in the Twin Cities have made the Louisiana Cafe, the Uptown Diner, and the Woodbury Cafe their local gathering places. And it's easy to see why. Stop by and find out for yourself. Tell them Big Eddie sent you.
There are just certain times in life when jewelry can help you save what you want without saying anything at all. Maybe it's a celebration, an anniversary, a milestone. Aurora Jewelers will help you say what you want to say and make the moment memorable. Aurora Jewelers will help you create or select that special jewelry that expresses personal identity and captures the moment. Aurora Jewelers. Express yourself. Express your love. Aurora Jewelers. Across from the Eden Prairie Mall, or visit online at AuroraJewelers.com.
The Home Buyer's Tax Credit has been extended and expanded. You're eligible for $6,500 if you've lived in your home for the last 5 out of 8 years, even for downsizing, or for $8,000 if you haven't owned a home in the last 3 years. Maximum income limits have gone up, and homes up to $800,000 qualify. Start looking now to make the April 30th deadline. Call Waters Realty at 612-865-9150. That's 612-865-9150. Let Waters Realty help find you the perfect nest. When you're looking for somewhere to host your next family or work event, look no further than the Park Tavern Bowling and Entertainment Center. Featuring affordable food and bowling packages for almost any size group, up to 300 people. Kids, no problem. The Park Tavern features cosmic bowling every Saturday and Sunday between noon and 2. And great party packages, too. The Park Tavern in St. Louis Park, a dining and entertainment tradition for over 50 years. Visit parktavern.net for hours, directions, and more information.
Welcome back to Socially Responsible Investing. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. And if it's your first time listening to us, you're batting 1,000% because this is our first show. And my first guest on my first show is Dr. Michael Sullivan. Dr. Michael Sullivan is the Associate Professor of Finance at the Opus College of Business and the Chief Investment Officer for the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Dr. Sullivan, thanks for being with us on the show today. I just have one question for you. Why does investing seem to be so nerve-wracking for so many people these days?
Well, I suppose it's really due to the volatility of the market and the fact that, you know, we had such a long-term, couple of decade-long period from the early 80s to around 2000 when just about any investment decision you could make, it was a positive one. It was hard to make a wrong decision. And I think in the last decade, the lost decade, that, you know, the volatility of the market returns, and not just equity stock markets, but also bond markets, as well as real estate, for that matter, and real assets, has really given people pause about, you know, feeling more certain about themselves in an uncertain environment.
What is it about the environment that seems so uncertain, even today, when we're in recovery, supposedly?
Well, that's the historical norm. You know, the point is that we came from a double decade, the 80s and 90s, where you could hardly go wrong. And so a lot of investors just didn't experience the longer term of investments activity, which there was a lot of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really just behavioral finance people have a term for it that connotates that it's called framing, that we only anticipate our futures from what our past experience is. So for 20 years, it was hard to make a wrong decision. And so that everything went up, and so people expected that to continue.
Well, that sounds like a description of what, you know, might be called the old normal. And many people talk about a new normal today. Dr. Sullivan, what would you say for our listeners who are investors that they need to know in this new environment to do well?
Yeah, I don't think about it as much as a new normal as much as a return to the old normal.
Mm-hmm.
I think the new normal was what happened in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, I think the three, you know, things that I would strongly recommend are to be a strategic investor and not to try to make decisions based upon short-term returns.
And how would you describe or define a strategic?
5 to 10 year time frames or longer, so that you make decisions that are based upon the fundamentals of market returns and not trying to guess which company is going to have the highest earnings or is going to have the hottest new product in the next month or the next quarter. And look at the fundamental economic factors that drive market returns. As an example, the three most important ones now are the global economy. Anybody who doesn't look at the global economy is making a huge mistake.
I agree with that.
Second, you've got to watch the dollar. As an example, I'll give this as an example. A lot of bond investors think about interest rate risk and think that that's really the fundamental risk that drives the potential loss in the value of their bond portfolios. But what they overlook is that a weakening dollar can also dramatically affect the value of their bond portfolios. So even if interest rates are held low, if the dollar continues to weaken in the coming decade, their bond portfolios can lose quite a bit of value. And then I'd certainly say that, you know, they need to think, the third thing I would say is to think like an institutional investor, which is to be strategic, to be diversified, to rebalance, to go for low fees and no quick fixes, to be aware of taxes and to reduce taxes as much as possible, and not to succumb to behavioral errors, things like greed and fear and framing and things like that. The emotional side of investing, to be very logical and to be very strategic and be very quantitative in their approach.
Well, there's no doubt that there's a lot of fear and emotion that comes with investing anyway, even in good times, because then people are concerned about losing their gains. And of course, when they've lost their gains, they're concerned about losing their principal. And many people just throw up their hands and give up on investing altogether. And they either freeze and don't make any changes, or they make a change and get out of investments altogether. And of course, then they tend to be out of the market when the market recovers, as it has since this last March, over 60% at the peak.
Yeah, and that's the stock market recovery, the U.S. Mm-hmm. stock market recovery.
Right. But,
yeah, and that's exactly the problem, that with making emotional or behavioral decisions. So you need a game plan, you need to establish it, you need to have a policy, you need to follow that policy, and you need to look at the economic factors that drive market returns, and not the quarterly earnings and not whether someone's introducing a new hot technology product or not.
Right.
That's not the way to do it. We firmly believe in diversification, which means funds and not individual securities. We believe in a random walk down Wall Street. We believe that you can't pick individual securities. There are 10,000 portfolio managers and tens of thousands of portfolio analysts out there that are much, much better at it than you are.
Mm-hmm.
So buy their funds and pay their little extra fee. Keep your fees as low as possible, and follow a very disciplined approach to investing. And don't try to buy in or sell out of markets. Stay the course. It's very interesting to note that the average Morningstar had a statistic 2 years ago. Well, the average U.S. mutual fund provided a return of 8% a year for the prior 10 years. The average investor got a 2% return.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that true? Because they did exactly the average individual investor did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
They bought high and sold low.
Something that we all want to try to avoid in the future. Well, Dr. Sullivan, thank you for your time today. And just to recap a little bit, I heard you say that three things that are very important for people to be aware of is think globally and not just the U.S. market, whether it's stocks or bonds. The second is to be aware of the position of the dollar relative to other currencies. And that, again, is something that professionals look at. And the third is to be diversified, rebalance your portfolio, all kind of technical terms. This is something that takes professional help. Of course, I have a bias there, being a professional. I'd like to thank you, Dr. Sullivan, for being on the show today. And I welcome anybody that wishes to talk about investments to call the show or email us. Again, this is Michael Mullins, Socially Responsible Investing, and we'll be back.
For the Big Brain Radio Show. You know, the Big Brain Radio Show is expressing how all of us are big brains and how we can maximize our forward action days in our lives. On the show, there's been the law of manifestation, the law of balance. One of my favorites is the law of appreciation. The law of appreciation is about raising your value, having more value in your life. Every day, sit down and look at the things you appreciate in your life. Don't judge them, just appreciate them and see how powerful the law of appreciation is.
Saturdays from 11 to noon on AM 950.
Dark kitchens, dingy hallways, and poorly lit bathrooms are depressing. Let Solar Midwest brighten your day with a SolarTube skylight. Solar Midwest will install Solotube's breakthrough technology in just a few hours to fill dark spaces with 100% pure natural light. Start saving money now. Turn off your lights and turn on daylight. And the Solotube qualifies for a 30% federal tax credit. Find out more at solarmidwest.com. That's solarmidwest.com.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community. Among the recipients were two Minnesotan Chippewa tribes, the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa and the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa. The Boys Fort Band of Chippewa was awarded a $1 million grant for economic development near their Vermilion Lake Reservation. And the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa received a $1 million grant to fund a Head Start daycare facility, which will open in early summer 2009. This funding will allow many more children the opportunity to participate in these valuable early childhood opportunities. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
Socially responsible investing is supported by Calvert Investments, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible, environmental, social, and governance practices. Online at calvert.com.
When you support the advertisers that support this station, you're doing a good thing. Not only are you supporting local small businesses, you're investing in your community and the future of this great state. And if for some reason you find a business that doesn't advertise on AM 950, tell them that they're missing out on the most influential and loyal listeners in the Twin Cities. For a complete list of businesses that support this station, or to find out how you can get an AM 950 bumper sticker, visit am950ktnf.com.
Taking a look at your Twin Cities forecast, we are looking at mostly cloudy skies today as we head toward a high near 39 with a 50% chance for some rain showers this afternoon. We are looking at a better chance for some rain this evening as we dip down to a low of 31. Cloudy tomorrow, Sunday, but warm with a high near 40. Back to work on Monday, partly sunny skies and a high near 42. And that's the latest look at your Twin Cities forecast on AM 950 KTNF, the voice of Minnesota.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Mike Mullins, your host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show, a show about investing. We're looking for companies that are strong, good investments that pay good, strong dividends. We're looking for up-and-coming industries, areas where people can make good return on their investments, and we will look at all of these ideas through the lens of socially responsible investing issues. We'll talk about this over the weeks and months ahead. My website address is www.michaelwmullins.com. Please go to my website. I've got a little thing that's called Who is Mike Mullins and How Do I Meet Him? Take 2 minutes and view my personal video. You'll have a chance to hear my investment philosophy. Have a look at me and decide if I'm a good dresser or not. And you'll have a better sense of who I am. I really want to get to know you. I want to know what you're thinking about investing, how investments have been treating you, and how you've been treating your investments. Send me an email. Ask me your question. Make your comment. I want to talk in this segment, in this chapter three, about two things. One is I want to talk about the bones of investing, and I want to answer a couple of questions. Now, if you will send me your question, I will answer questions on the air as I can. I will certainly answer every question that's asked of me by a return email at the very least. So please ask your question. I will answer your question. The bones of investing. What I mean by that is that the very fiber of investing is really wrapped around a larger money picture in people's lives. And again, if you're in a position where you can get something to write with, a pencil, a pen, a crayon, a magic marker, a Sharpie will do. I like Sharpies myself. Find yourself a piece of paper with a little room on it, and I'm going to just describe this to you. You can't see it, obviously, so I'll ask you to draw it in your in your mind. If you are driving, please do not draw while you're driving. If you have an Etch-a-Sketch and you can make circles, that will also work. Draw a round circle in the middle, big enough to put a letter in. It's a bullseye we're making here. Draw the round circle in the middle and put a B. B as in baseball. B as in bullseye. Next, draw another larger circle. Remember, we're drawing a bullseye. And leave room to write something and put these two letters in. C, comma, R. C as in chicken, comma, R as in radio. In the next ring, make a bigger circle. This is the last circle you'll have to make. I hope your arm's not getting tired. And write the letter I. I as in, well, it turns out, investing. The relationship among those three things is very, very, very important for you to understand and accept before we can actually talk about what investing is. I'll tell you what investing is not. Investing is not the money that you live on day to day. All of us, rich or poor, employed or unemployed, think about our money every day. I mean our money on hand every day, our checking account money, the cash in our wallets or purse. We think about our paychecks being deposited. We think about the bills that get paid. This is our working money. This is our budget. B is in budget. We don't think about getting a return on our budget because the money's moving too fast. The next ring out, C, comma, R, stands for cash and reserves. Cash and reserves is what it sounds like. Money market instruments, savings accounts, CDs, short-term bonds, short-term bond funds. They could be taxable bond funds or tax-free bond funds. It depends on your particular situation and circumstances. I hope you'll give me a call or send me an email. We'll talk about your situation in particular. As I say, I want to get to know you. The third ring out is the investing side. Investing is long-term by its very definition. Investing is only for people that are making their budget, that have cash and reserves, and now you have investing. Now, for most people, even in times when economic times are a little tough, such as we're experiencing now and have been for a while, most people have a retirement plan of some kind, a 401k, a 403b, an IRA, a SEP IRA, a SEP, different kinds of vehicles for saving money for retirement. Well, there it is right there. It's long-term money. That's what that's for. Some of us also need to save for long-term projects that take money, take funding, such as weddings. If you haven't paid for a wedding lately, my friend, you are in for a little bit of a shock. Can you say $20,000 to $50,000? Ooh, I know. Kids don't like getting married in the backyard much anymore. They don't like having their wedding reception in your basement either. They usually demand something a little bit more, well, elaborate. You may have children that you'd like to help fund education for. There are different ways to do that, but those things are still long-term and they're still investing issues. You may be trying to save money for your later years in things such as variable annuities outside of your 401k or your IRA. And a lot of people have annuities, and these all have their place, but they're long-term money. So when we talk about investing, let me go back over the bullseye. In the middle, in the B, is your working life money. This sustains and supports your lifestyle as it is now. The cash and reserves is there to support that budget. That's its job. Cash and reserves' job is not to earn a great rate of return. That's what investing's job is, and that's 5 years and longer money. By the way, stocks do not belong in your cash and reserves wallet. They belong in your investing wallet. 5+ years for stocks. Anybody that was invested in the market or wasn't under a rock the last 2 years know that the stock market took a plunge, shall we say, between the fall of 2007 and March of 2009 that rivaled the great financial plunges in our market's history. That's not where you want to have your ready money, your cash reserve sitting. You did not want to have your money there because if you were looking at the Dow at a level of 14,000 in the fall of 07 and then you looked at the Dow at 6,500 in March of 2009, and you were trying to pull your cash reserves out of that, you were in for a lot of pain. Now, there are three things that we all assumed that I think we have to stop thinking. First is, we assumed that our income would always go up. The second assumption we made is that our house price would always go up. The third assumption we made was that our stock market investments would eventually go up again. The fourth one that none of us really thought too much about was that we'd always have a job. And for those that don't have a job right now, for those where there's a household where one person's unemployed and the other's working, you're now limping along, maybe the breadwinner in the household is underemployed. That number sits around 20% of Americans these days of unemployed and underemployed. 20%, one out of five work-age Americans are in that category. So there's a lot of pain there. Those four assumptions have proven to be the bane of our economy. Because what happens, when I was talking about consumer confidence earlier, what happens is that when people are in those situations, they pull back. We've all pulled back. I have stories here on my desktop. I'm not going to read them right now. Of stories of people who have stopped going out to dinner. Instead of shopping at Macy's or Nordstrom, they're shopping at Kohl's and Marshall's and are content to do so and probably won't really be back to Macy's and Nordstrom's the way they were before. That's a change in our economy and a change in the way we think about money. And probably on balance, there's a lot of good things to be said about that. Well, let's ask the question now. What does Pearl Harbor, 9/11, and investing in 2008 and early 2009 have in common? Well, total shock. We had assumptions about how life was going to be and what was safe and what wasn't safe. And we had expectations that we were building our lives on. And we found out that there were some things that happened that were far, far beyond our control. And Pearl Harbor, 9/11, investing in 2008, to have that in common. So the question is, what do you do now? Well, you have to start getting clear. You have to start getting clear in a real hurry. You have to think about why you invest. Now, I've told you that investing is long-term. It's 5+ years money. That's where your stocks are. So if you're looking at your portfolio of stuff and you're at 80% stock, and you haven't made a clean distinction, a careful, thoughtful distinction between your cash, reserves, and your investing, it's time for you to wake up and realize that you really need to think about a different working model. Please call me and let's talk about this model. I have an investment planning process that's very intuitive, clean, simple, and brisk. And we can walk you through this model. We need to talk about it in person because I need to know who you are. But why invest? Long-term goals, as I mentioned, weddings, school funding, eventually retirement for yourself. You know what they call retirement? Unemployment. Yes, you will have to replace your working income at some point with other money. That money's going to come from several sources, there's no doubt about it. Social Security, perhaps other investments such as annuities that you can tap for income and such. But ultimately, investing has to provide peace of mind and security in your life. And I ask you this question, are your investments providing peace of mind for you right now? Do you feel that your investing approach is providing the kind of security that you'd like to have? Well, I want you to think about how you use the bullseye as a way to figure how to think about your money in relation to itself. When you think about your investments, you have to think about the long-term risk tolerance. How much can you afford to lose long-term? Well, doesn't that depend on how many years you have to work with? If it's your cash and reserve money, how much can you afford to lose? I think that's a pretty tiny number for most people, maybe zero for a lot of people. Certainly for a lot of that cash and reserve, zero is the right answer. We need to talk about things to invest in. And just briefly, I'll just say this one thing because we got to get to a couple of questions here. You want to invest in, here comes the silly, simplistic statement of the day, things that go up in value. We all thought we were doing that, didn't we, back in the mid 2000s into 07. We need to look at things that can provide cash for reinvestment, that can be used for spending, that can be used to support your cash and reserves. A lot of different ways to go about that. It's so individualistic. I have a quick question here. Many people, this is Bruce, says, many people at work stopped putting money into their IRAs in the later part of 2008, and still do not make contributions, fearing the economy's recovery. Was this a wise move to keep this in cash, or would it have been better to continue investing in the down market? I have to take the view from 30,000 feet. You've got to think about your time horizon, how much time you have for recovery, and how long until you have to spend that money. If you're within 5 years of retirement where you're going to need to tap that money for income for your life, you need to be pretty darn conservative. You should probably continue to save, but you probably shouldn't have that much exposure or any exposure to the stock market at some point. I want you to remember the bullseye, that relationship between your budget, your cash and reserves, and your investments are so important to keep in proper perspective. And when you think about the risk that you can take with each pool of money, your working budget's a zero risk, your cash and reserves is a zero to a low risk, and your investment is where your risk lives. And we can talk about the investing side. Individuals, please email your questions to me at michael.w.mullins@rbc.com. This is the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. In our fourth chapter, we will talk about further things about investing, investing opportunities, and some offers. Thanks to Laura Caviani for this great music.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Coming up Monday on the Tom Hartman Program, imagine that your credit's shaky and you need to borrow money. Will your bank or credit card company lend you the cash? Probably not. You know who will? The payday loan companies. But at what cost? Do payday lenders have a place in our society? Are they a necessary evil or ruthless loan sharks under the guise of legitimate businesses? I'll be confronting libertarian Wayne Root on the issue.
Tom Hartman, weekdays from 2 to 5 on AM 950 KTNF.
Common Good Books has been a closely guarded St. Paul secret for years, but book lovers from all over are discovering that Garrison Keillor's bookstore is, well, above average. Conveniently tucked away in the lower level of the Blair Arcade on the corner of Western and Selby in St. Paul, and online at commongoodbooks.com. Common Good Books features an excellent selection of hand-picked books, from classic American literature to the best political reads. And remember, live local, read large.
The Dakota tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community in Prior Lake, Minnesota, with charitable giving of more than $132 million over the last 11 years. In 2008, 15 Native American tribes each received $1 million grants from the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. Among the recipients were two Minnesotan Chippewa tribes, the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa and the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa. The Boys Fort Band of Chippewa was awarded a $1 million grant for economic development near their Vermilion Lake Reservation. And the Grand Portage Band of Chippewa received a $1 million grant to fund a Head Start daycare facility, which will open in early summer 2009. This funding will allow many more children the opportunity to participate in these valuable early childhood opportunities. The tradition of helping others is alive and well at the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. For more information, go to ShakopeeDakota.org.
Tune in to the Twin Cities Real Estate Radio Show this Sunday morning starting at 9. We'll be talking about the importance of home inspections with Jeff Blitz, president of Inspecta Homes. You can also call in during the show and we will answer any of your real estate-related questions. Or call us anytime with a question at 651-344-0621. Visit us online at TwinCitiesRealEstateRadio.com to listen to past shows and keep up with the latest real estate news.
When is it a good time to explore senior care options? Before you need it. Hi, I'm Tammy Gentilla, owner of Le Bon Vie, which means the good life. We're a family-owned residential care home in a quiet neighborhood in Golden Valley. We provide 24-hour care, including an on-call registered nurse. Our services range from general to dementia care, and activities are provided daily. Call 612-735-8480. That's 612-735-8480. Le Bon Vie is your loved one's home away from home.
Isn't that some tasty jazz? That's Laura Caviani, Twin Cities composer, pianist, vocalist, all around great local performer. Look for her performing around town, Laura Caviani. In the future, we'll have a website that you can go to sample more of her music. But for now, this is Mike Mullins, and I am your host of the Socially Responsible Investing Show. My website address is www.michaelwmullins.com. When you go to my website, you will see a spot where you can click to view my personal video. It's 137 seconds long. You've got time. That's not too long out of your life to see who I am and what I've got going on. I'd like to get a chance to know you as well, but I thought this video would be a quick way for someone in your position to have a look at me and decide if I look like I'm somebody you want to talk to, you know? Ethical and sustainable investing is another couple of words, and we're going to work on defining terms over the weeks and months ahead. Recently, actually a couple of years ago, I was an adjunct professor at the Minnesota School of Business, and I taught a course called The Basics of Finance. And in that course, I had a lot of people who were post-high school. Most people hadn't had college experience. If they had, they just had a little bit. They had made a decision someplace in their life that working checkout just wasn't going to be a good career path, and they wanted to learn more about how the economy works, and so they signed up for business classes at the Minnesota School of Business. And after a while, I realized that the biggest, most important first thing I could do for people was to help them be comfortable and have confidence that they knew what the heck the words meant. You know, it's hard to talk about, it's hard even to go on a job interview at a company when you don't know the vocabulary. And so we'll be working to define vocabulary terms. And for those of you who already know all this stuff, please be patient. I guarantee you there are a lot of people who say, oh, sure, I know what a stock is. But then you say, well, okay, tell me. And they go, well, it's something that you buy and sell on an exchange. Right, that's not what a stock is. That's where you find a stock, perhaps. That's not the same thing. But regarding stocks and bonds, keep in mind that what we're talking about is ways for you to have your investments, which is your 5 years and longer money, be worth more later than they are today. Obviously, you want to buy things that you expect to go up in value. The whole idea of looking at companies from a socially responsible point of view is looking for companies that, as I said earlier in the show at the first segment, if you think companies that make decisions about bonuses and those kinds of things behind closed doors is just fine so long as they're making money, then we really don't have a lot to talk about. Because I'll tell you, I've been in business 24 years and I have seen plenty of companies that had periods of time when they were making big dough for people. Their stock was going up like a rocket. Can anybody remember the name Enron? That's a company that was like a rocket ship going up. If any of you had any of that stock, I hope you got out of it before it crashed and burned. I don't think you want to invest in companies that can trick you, that are willing to lie and cheat when it comes to transparency about their board decisions. I think you want to invest in companies that are going to be open and honest and offer you a view of a company that's working to take care of its employees as a valuable asset in their company, that are working to take care of the people that own shares of their stock, the shareholders, who should be demanding transparency in how their company is functioning. Those are the kinds of companies we're looking for. And this is not an antagonistic thing. This is just saying, look, let's just all tell the truth around here. Let's be willing to be clear about what our intentions are and how it is that we're going to add value to our shareholders. This is really as simple as that. All right, as far as investing, you need to have a plan. That's all there is to it. You've got to know what you're doing. Think about the bullseye, please, as a model, and think about your long-term investing time horizon. That's the place where you can take risk. The other parts of your life, your cash, comma, reserves, and your budget, those are not places to take risk, friends. That is the place to sustain and maintain your lifestyle. You owe it to the people around yourself and your family and your community as well to be a good, viable, solid, economically sound financial neighbor. All right. Now, I want to define stocks, bonds, and mutual funds briefly here in the couple minutes we have left. The basics of stocks, bonds, and ultimately mutual funds has to do with how companies raise money. When a company wants to raise money for corporate purposes, it can really go three major ways. One is to borrow the money. It can be a bank or it can be private investors, and usually it's a combination of those two anyway. They borrow. The second thing a company can do is to sell pieces of itself as individual shares of stock. You become a shareholder when you buy shares of stock. You become an owner represented by the shares you own in that company. So if you own shares of Walmart, you are an owner of Walmart, and you have the opportunity, and some would say the responsibility, to take an interest in how Walmart's performing in these areas. Now, as Dr. Sullivan said, he recommends that most people don't buy. Actually, he said nobody should buy individual stocks. They should buy mutual funds. That's a point of view that some people have. Mutual funds have the responsibility as well to know what they own. Now, let me skip over that for a second. The third way that a company raises money is they borrow from the investing public by issuing bonds. Bonds are debt. And when you buy a bond from the University of Minnesota for some campus purpose, and it's going to be redeemed in 10 years and you get paid a certain dividend rate, that's a fixed rate and that's a fixed security, and you can actually own that. You can hold the certificate in your hand. Mutual funds are products. They're products that are created by investment companies. Investment companies create these products to make money for the company. They're a product. The investment product, the mutual fund, will buy stocks, bonds, or a combination of the two. And when you invest in mutual funds, clearly you can probably see you do not own shares of that stock and you do not own that bond. You own a beneficial interest, they call it, in that mutual fund portfolio. There are some strengths to that, having to do with the ability to have a broad diversity of kinds of stocks or bonds. The downside is you do not control your taxes. You do not control whether or not you end up taking a gain, whether or not you wanted to or not. And that's an issue. And that's an issue that we'll talk about further when we talk about mutual funds as a good investment in the future. Well, that's pretty much it for today's show. Next week, the front burner topic is going to be the bones of socially responsible investing. It's sort of chapter two of the bones of investing. Now that we've talked a little bit about investing, we'll talk about how to focus it on socially responsible investing, and we'll talk about what's the difference between socially responsible investing and, well, investing. Our guest next week will be Peter DeSimone. He is the Director of Programs for the Social Investment Forum in Washington, D.C. We'll spend more time with questions and answers from listeners, and I hope that you will send me your questions, michael.w.mullins@rbc.com. Again, thanks to Laura Caviani, our great jazz background music we hear. And in the future, I'll be able to tell you how you can get in touch with Laura, how you can get in touch with her music. And thanks so much for being with me on the show today. This is the Socially Responsible Investing Show. I'm your host, Mike Mullins. My website address is www.michaelwmullins.com. I want to get to know you. Please email your questions. I'll answer them on the air or directly back to email, and we'll see you next week.
When dealing with immigration law, it's easy to get lost in the system. The Department of Homeland Security is good at putting up walls. You need a law firm that knows how to break through barriers. You need Kim Hunter and Associates. We're your passionate and compassionate advocates, and we're not afraid to take on tough cases.
Call Kim at 651-641-0440.
Pregunte por Sama at 651-641-0440.
The Mike Malloy Show.
The governors of state after state are ordering drastic, unimaginable budget cuts to social programs already barely holding on. This is the true legacy of the Bush-Clinton administrations. We're in a world of hurt because of our insistence on spending uncounted billions on wars of occupation and nothing here at home where it's so desperately needed. How long can this continue?
Mike Malloy, weekday evenings 8 to 11 on AM 950 KTNF.
Our party must be the party of tomorrow.
AM 950, KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul. The station for the Obama generation.
KNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. Tomorrow, voters in Iraq will head to the polls to cast ballots in crucial national elections. Thomas Mater of the Middle East Policy Council says the outcome is important to Iraqis and Americans.
If they don't go well, I think it really means that our withdrawal from Iraq is endangered, because people will argue that we should stay until we have fixed it.
At least three people were killed by a car bombing today in Najaf. More than 50 others were injured. CNN's Arwa Damon reports the blast occurred near a Shiite shrine.
This is especially disturbing because of the location where the attack took place.